The iPad drought is finally over. Apple has announced new iPad Pros, new iPad Airs, a new Apple Pencil Pro, and more. We're talking about the latest Apple product announcements in this episode of the Macworld Podcast. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Macworld Podcast. I'm Roman Loyola, here with Jason Cross.
Good morning.
And Michael Simon.
Hello, sir.
Apple held its May 7th event, and the company let loose several overdue updates to the iPad Pro and iPad Air. So we're going to talk about that in this show. The first question I have is, will this episode be longer or shorter than the let loose event? What's the over-under?
Almost certainly longer. My question is, what was different about this event? Apple, in their like little social media teaser, said, join us for a different kind of Apple event. It was not
outside of being shorter. It looked fine. Just like every Apple event.
Yeah.
I mean, I love their transitions and all their like goofy sets. Yeah. And I love that one of them was on Bart.
Yeah, John Turner was just randomly on the subway. I don't live in San Francisco. Was that an actual subway car?
Yeah, that was it was a BART car. So San Francisco has the Muni, which is their local subway.
Yep. Yeah.
And BART goes all through the Bay Area. It's like the long distance commuter train. Yeah. So it's not all underground. In fact, it's only underground through part of San Francisco. The rest of the time it's above ground.
Oh, okay. So it's just
a lot
train.
Of people take that. They come in from the East Bay or from South Bay or something on BART. And that was absolutely a BART train, but okay. I'm wondering if it was, I mean, clearly they didn't film it on BART while BART
they
was
must
running.
Have, they must have, right, like cleared it out.
So it's like a virtual, is the whole thing a virtual set, or did they film it on a BART car, like stuck somewhere and just
maybe
did
they
it
did
outside?
Maybe they bought an old BART car, cleaned it up, and threw it in a studio now, somewhere.
That's the
something.
Other thing. They just replaced all the BART cars. Starting 5 or 6 years ago, Roman.
Yeah, it was a gradual transition.
And it's been gradual. They're just now kind of all this new one. And this is a new one. So they definitely didn't buy an old BART car. So I'm just, if you're a Bay Area native, you're just the puzzle about the BART car is more exciting than anything else.
Yeah.
So. And also, why was he on a train? Like, what is that?
To show people the extras,
we know the
iPad's using
portable. We're not. That's not a.
Right.
That's not a
that was
thing.
So weird. It was such a strange.
Well, the other, if you're a Bay Area person, you know that people aren't using their laptops and iPads on BART. They're on their phones.
Is that because they might get stolen? Is that
you'll find somebody sometime. There's always somebody on their laptop because you can have an hour long BART ride if you're out in the East Bay or something. And there's always somebody getting some work done, but no, it's first of all, there's five times as many people minimum.
They were all comfortably sitting behind him, and no one was looking up and saying,
"One
why
person
is this guy
on each
talking
bed?
This case about Apple
everyone's,
products?"
Everyone's got AirPods Max on and stuff.
Yeah,
and there's always a spilled drink on the floor.
It's never that clean.
It's never clean. So
the first bit. When they transitioned from the logo stuff, it was all they animated Apple Park for a little while there, and that was super cool. And I wondered for 30 seconds, is the entire event going to be hand drawn or animated in some way? Because that would be crazy. But it only lasted
filter
five
that
seconds.
Makes it look hand drawn or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
it was really cool. They had the pencil stuff was going around and Tim Cook showed up. It was cool. And then it was just a regular event after that.
It was just such a super standard, we're going to start with Tim Cook.
Yeah.
He's going to fill you in on, he's going to hype up the things they just released. And then he's going to go, and now let's talk about iPad. And then we're going to hand it over to this person. And then we're going to hand it over to that person. And we're going to run through the specs. And we're going to, and it was really just like every element. So I don't know.
It was an effort. I mean, listen, they're really good at it.
Sure.
If not the best, one of the best at keeping our interest for 30 to 60 minutes with those little things. And you don't need an audience anymore. They figure that out pretty quickly, that these pre-recorded events are actually more interesting than an audience event, because they can do all the graphics and all that other stuff.
They'll take a break to show you the commercial they made. Like,
demos are more controlled.
I'm glad it was such a short event, because honestly, there was really nothing about any of this that needed to be longer. I mean, it's questionable whether they needed an event for this at all.
You could question it. I thought it didn't seem forced. Like, it was 30 minutes of like back-to-back-to-back, you know, decent announcements. The iPad Pro is, you know, it's a good update. The iPad Air is a good update. Like, it wasn't the kind of event, like that scary fast event in October was like, why are we doing this? It's a slightly faster M3, a new color, and nothing. This one really felt like, all right, there's something here that we could talk about for 30 minutes.
So let's dive into the products. They started off with updates to the iPad Air. We got the big sized iPad Air that had been rumored. I think we can say off the top, a lot of the rumors that were floating through,
they were
reports spot and stuff.
On. Yeah.
And especially the iPad Air. I mean, that's the easiest thing you could say is, well, the iPad Air is, they made a bigger one. It's got the M2 now, and they also made a bigger one. And that's fine.
Yeah.
The only real upgrade is that it's larger and has a faster processor, has Wi-Fi 6E, you know, things like that.
They have a larger option. The price didn't change. Right. The starting storage doubled, but it's been 18 months and it needed to. It's not, relative to the time we're in, it's not like it's a lot of storage now. It's just, they're just keeping up with the times.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's more of a middle product now that the iPad Pro.
The iPad Pro got more expensive. So much more expensive, yeah.
But so it kind of fills a better gap. It used to be so close to the iPad Pro that you kind of felt like, why am I?
Yeah, yeah. Why am it I was, getting so this? Before it was $799 and $599. Mm-hmm. Now it's $599 and $999. So there's a big jump. You have to make a conscious decision to get the Pro now, rather than just, oh, well, it's a little bit better, a couple hundred bucks. All right, I'll grab it.
Really?
Now you gotta want it or need it to make that leap.
And they sort of fixed the problem they created for themselves last year, where they introduced a 10th gen iPad, but they introduced it too expensive, and they kept the 9th gen around. And we all said, why are they doing this? Why didn't they just not get rid of the 9th gen and Lightning and all that other stuff forever? And now they did get rid of the 9th gen, and they dropped the price of the 10th gen to just barely more than what the 9th gen was. That used to be $329. This is now $349. Yeah, $20 difference. If they had done this when they introduced the 10th gen, that would have been good.
They would have sold a ton of them. For $349, that is a hell of an iPad. It's what it
needs to be. I mean, it's that we, before they introduced that, we said, oh my God, the iPad, the entry level iPad is treading water. It hasn't improved anything but just getting a new processor every year. It doesn't, the industrial design's old, like, come on. And then when they introduced it, they actually didn't get rid of the entry level iPad. They just made a new, more expensive thing. And we're like, no. Why?
At $449, it didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
The Mini is $499. The iPad Air is $599. The old iPad, the 9th gen with the home button, was $329. And this one was just in no man's land at $449.
And it wasn't enough of an improvement to justify it or anything.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But at $349, it's a great iPad, and you know, within like 3 or 4 months, that'll probably be down to $299 on Amazon for Black Friday, and that's like really good.
Yeah, they really need that sort of $350 iPad.
Yeah,
as a starting point for people, because there's so many people who buy an iPad as a, like a, this is the digital storybook distraction device for my kid.
For sure.
I'm not going to spend money on something they are definitely going to destroy, like, or lose or whatever.
Right.
You know.
But for the $20 that the ninth gen was, you're getting bigger screen, better processor, modern design, USB-C. I mean, it is just across the board. Way
right,
more than $20
to that
better
credit,
than that.
The ninth gen shouldn't have been
it probably
still
was, $329. Probably was too high. It probably was too high.
Yeah. It was just ancient design, ancient tech. So that was a good move. I'm glad to see them kind of price correct that.
And $100, like I would have thought a price cut would have brought it to $399. But $100, that's, you know, 25%. Like, that's a big cut. Not quite 25%, but close.
It was just, and, but it was so overpriced.
It was, but Apple doesn't usually admit that. Rare that Apple actually does that without. Like, I can see it coming out with a new model, cutting some stuff back, but this is just a straight price cut. It's rare.
Yeah. Their margin is probably $100 or $80 or something still. So
I'm sure
they're still happy.
They're making their 30%.
Yeah.
Back to the Air. So it now has an M2 processor. Were you guys surprised that they went with M2 instead of M3?
No, not for that.
I don't think any...
No, I don't even think it needs an M2, to be honest with you.
No, it doesn't. And I wonder if any of iPads are going to get an M3. Like, I wonder if next year's Air is even going to get an M3. Like, they'll jump to M5 on the Pros and maybe M4 on the Airs or something like that. Yeah. The M3 seems like it was kind of late getting released. Mm-hmm. It was like the M2 and stuff was in the summer, and then, you know, the M3 was like a year and a half later, and then now we're back on the summer, and it just feels like it's a weird product that they want to move on from. And it's fine. That's a lot of juice, man. If you're a lot of people buy an iPad and hang on to it for 6 or 7 years, and I have a feeling that's going to be fine.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Like, an M2 iPad Air is going to do you for a long time, unless you're editing 4K video.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of cycle they have for these iPads, if they're going to do an annual cycle or if they're going to do something a little longer, because as you guys pointed out, these iPads have plenty of power, and it's not, the hardware isn't the problem in terms of performance or anything like that. It's software. We could talk about that a little bit, but
that's part of the discussion of the Pro for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Pro. The Pro has an M4 now. They rounded up the bigger one from 12.9 to 13. It's not clear to me if it was simply rounding or if it actually is 13 inches.
Yeah, right. Was it 13 all along?
they did the same on the Air, didn't they?
Yes,
now, they did the same. It does look like, just with my eyes on the website, that the bezels are slightly thinner. And we're talking about a tenth of an inch around, so it's a half of a tenth of an inch on each side. It's very, very noticeable.
I'm like, you're ever going to call something a 12.9 inch?
Yeah, it was always laptop, weird that tablet, they called it that. Yeah. It's so weird. And just rounded it up to 13.
It's always a quote 13 inch thing. And it was,
I mean, the 24 inch iMac is like 23.5 inches, I think. Like, they rounded up there. Why not round up the iPad?
Yeah.
So 13 is a much nicer number than 12.9 inch.
Yeah, and it goes with the MacBooks and all that other stuff.
They went out of their way to point out the improvements to the Neural Engine in the M4. So we've got...
Yeah, that's kind of all there is. Like, it has a new display engine because they have a new stacked OLED display, but that doesn't mean anything to anyone. Like, that's not a feature or shows up in your... like workflow or something. It's just like,
it's just a technical reason. They said,
and then it's faster, but they compared it against the M2. and it's like 50% faster. It's like, well, yeah, but that's 20% faster. The M3 is like 20% faster, and then this is 20% faster, and there's your 50%. Like, it's just the next
in some slides and some parts of the presentation, they compared it to like the original neural engine from like 5 years ago.
Yeah, for the neural engine, they said like
that much faster.
The iPhone 10 had the first neural engine.
It's like, well, we're going way back. And,
yeah, and there's been a couple of big leaps since then. So they said the neural engine, they said 38 trillion operations per second. The A17 Pro in the latest iPhone 15 Pros, is 35 trillion. So that's like a wash. It's not like, that's not a difference where it's like, well, now we can do all these things you couldn't do before. And we're not seeing in any kind of benchmarks that leap. Like that 35 was a double. It was 16 trillion or something the year before, right? And we're not seeing in any ML benchmark that anyone's come up with, we're not seeing twice the performance. We're seeing a 20-30% boost, which is great. I don't think it's the kind of thing where we asked this before. Is this going to enable software that's exclusive to that? There's no reason it has to. Yeah. They might choose to do that, but it's there's nothing here that we're just like, you could only do this on the M4. And then it has the same GPU.
There's got to be something. They spent a bit of time talking about that NPU, and
That's for the stock
without really talking about like any new software features. So I assume iPadOS 18 will bring that.
Yeah, and it'll be curious to see if there's stuff that only runs on the A17 Pro or later, and the M4 or later. The things that made that jump from like 16 trillion to 35 trillion or more. But benchmarks aren't showing a doubling of performance. Specs and benchmarks are always like that, but I don't know. But it doesn't have like suddenly a lot more RAM where you would be like, oh, the other ones can't hold the model. It still has 8 and then 16 if you get a terabyte or more storage. The CPU is faster along the same cadence. It's very linear year over year. The GPU is faster in the same way. It's got the same GPU with mesh shaders and ray tracing. Like, perfectly fine, nice update, but there's nothing where I'm like, gosh, sure does need that M4. Just the display.
They said a couple of times that the M4 was crucial to the iPad being. Like, they said at one point that the iPad Pro couldn't exist without the M4.
Right.
There are more efficiency cores. There is that new display engine. So, you know, perhaps because it's so thin, there's less battery, so the efficiency makes the CPU run cooler and lets it hit that 10-hour battery benchmark that Apple loves so much with the iPad.
Until we have a teardown that tells us how much battery is actually in it and how much power the actual chip is using, we got no reason to believe it's using less, significantly less power than the M3. If anything's using less power, it's the display.
Yeah. But and that's where there's two of them. Difference. So I assume it's using a similar power.
That's how they get more brightness with less power.
Yeah, right.
Is by having, because there's like a non-linear, the brighter you go, the more power it needs. It's like non-linear. Mm-hmm. That's why you save so much battery life turning down your brightness just a little on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why the stacked OLEDs, it lets them, instead of cranking the OLED up to 100, it lets them run each OLED at like 60%, which is like 30% the power. And it's a big power savings. And you get brighter without burning out the OLEDs and all that stuff. It's not a new technology. They had to brand it Tandem OLED and all this stuff. But stacked OLEDs exist. It's a thing. Some TVs and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of any tablets that use it. I can't wait for them to put it on a MacBook. That'd be awesome. But it's cool.
Yeah, so we have the new display, the new processor, the camera, the front-facing camera is now on the Landscape edge.
Landscape camera, yeah. Finally.
For the all Air 2.
Or both of them.
Yeah, for the Air. For all the iPads, except the Mini now.
Yeah, the which Mini I assume will get its update in the fall or something.
Yeah. What else am
the
I leaving
thinner out? Was such a talking point, and I think it is, especially the 13-inch model is a lot thinner. They said it's thinner than an iPod Nano, so it's like the thinnest thing Apple's ever made. That's one of those things you can't get across in a video. But when you hold something that big, that's that thin, it feels really neat.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those things that makes you go, wow, when you pick it up. And yeah.
It's like 5 millimeters, which is pretty astounding.
5.1 is very little.
Yeah. And it's actually lighter than the iPad Air now, which is also
light. Yes.
So it's thinner and lighter than the Air, barely. Which is called like the Air.
2 grams,
the Pro is less. all around.
Yeah.
There's nothing airy about it anymore.
We lost a camera, though. We lost the ultra-wide camera. I'm really surprised they didn't. They put the old wide camera in there. They didn't put the 48 megapixel wide camera.
It's the same 12 megapixel one.
And that would have been nice because then you could get that optical
the extra
zoom
camera
thing.
I wish Apple would have talked about it a little more as to why they got rid of it, because it's not necessary. And I presume it enabled some other thing to fit in that spot, because it looks like there's a new ambient light sensor that they were talking about for scanning documents and stuff, where it adapted to just stuff.
LiDAR
and ambient light.
Not ambient light. It's a new flash. It's a new True Tone flash.
Yeah, the True Tone flash, yeah.
Which it is. It's a little bigger or whatever. I didn't know document scanning was an issue on the iPad, but this is cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know either, but they talked about it for a minute or so.
I have no idea if people used the ultra wide on their iPad.
I can't imagine many people did.
It makes sense on the front, because you want center stage, you want to be able to follow people around with
that FaceTime and stuff.
But,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else about the iPad Pro?
Well, the biggest thing is the price. It's $200
more. OLED and the OLED thinner and the price. Those are the big things.
It's actually a little. I thought the price would be a little high. So it's $200 more for the base model, but you do get double the storage. So it's really $100 more when you break that down. And if you want, so the base model with 256 gigabyte storage gives you an M4 with 9 cores, only 3 performance cores, and 6 efficiency cores. I don't really see that as a problem in the iPad. I think 3 performance cores are more than enough that you're probably going to need. But if you're spending that much to get, it's kind of like the MacBook Pro thing where you're still getting 8 gigs of RAM. It's like, I'm spending a lot of money on this thing, and you're giving me a processor that's, you know, not as good.
Or how they sometimes would remove, disable GPU cores on the cheapest one. It's weird that they did it on.
Yeah.
It's weird that they did it on the performance CPU core. To me,
I agree. That's the first time we've seen that, I think, right, Jason? Other than the actual Pro I don't even know. Does the Pro doesn't have more performance cores? It's the same.
Yeah, I don't.
It's the GPU that's different.
It's the GPU, and then
we haven't seen Apple into the mess with the performance cores.
And they're doing the same thing with the RAM they did before. You have to buy the 1 terabyte model to get 16 gigs of RAM.
Right. So if you buy the 1 terabyte model, which costs, I don't have it in front of me,
$1,600, $1,650,
$1,600
for the 11 inch.
You get the 4 core. A 4 performance core, the full M4 with 4 performance cores, and you get 16 gigabytes of RAM. Only with the 1 and 2 terabyte models.
And
which, here, I got it here. They cost 1 terabyte, cost $1,900 for the 13 inch, and $1,600, like we said, for the 11 inch.
Okay.
And then the 2 terabyte cost $1,999.
And then that's not the new Magic Keyboard or the Pencil or any of the other stuff you got to buy. You got to buy $500 or the other stuff.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're getting that machine, you want that stuff.
I like the new Magic Keyboard a lot. That was another change. They had to change it because the way it folds up into a case, because the new iPad Pro is so much thinner, it wouldn't just fit. So they made it, the Magic Keyboard itself is thinner, the iPad is thinner, so when it's all closed up, it's much more like a MacBook. It felt weird using the Magic Keyboard on an iPad Pro before, because if you close it up, it'd be like double as thick as a MacBook. This big, fat thing. Now it's thin, they put a function row up top, like a little half-height function row. The trackpad's bigger, the trackpad has haptic feedback. And they have an aluminum, sort of the keyboard deck side is aluminum, not the outside of the case. But it's like all together. I mean, I've loved the Magic Keyboard. That was one of Apple's best products.
It's a great accessory. It's like way overpriced. But it's really nice.
But it's, and so the new one, it only works with the iPad Pro. It's the same price, which makes you feel bad for everyone who gets an iPad Air and has to pay the same for like a worse Magic Keyboard.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a really nice update without updating the price. It's still too expensive, but it's a great accessory, and I bet it's going to be awesome. It's going to feel... Now you'd just be mad that the iPadOS software is so limiting. You have this great MacBook-like experience, and you're like, how come I can't open two PDFs?
It's always been the thing, and yeah, they make the iPad better and better and better. And iPadOS still has this slow pace of last year's iOS updates. Like, there's nothing, we haven't gotten the meaningful, other than Stage Manager, which they won't even really talk about. That's the only, like, iPadOS exclusive thing or specific thing that we've gotten in years.
I still just can't deal with files. Like, files is fine on my phone.
Yeah.
Where... Yeah. I just might need to get to some stuff stored on my phone occasionally. If I'm trying to be productive on a bigger display, I'm taking Finder over that Files app any day. That Files app drives me nuts, in a seriously productive environment situation. So,
on your phone, you concentrate, you focus mostly on apps. You do things in apps. On the iPad, theoretically, you're focused mostly on files. So you want a better way to file manage. Like if you want to work on, say, a video edit, you're working on that particular file. Yeah. So,
right. And you want to drop different video files into it and stuff. And they're stored in different places. And you don't want to use a file picker and stuff. You just want to drag stuff from your Finder.
Yeah.
So the data first thing, once you start doing productivity stuff, it just feels like that's the paradigm they can't get around on iPad. They just can't. They don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the best way to kind of make that jump would be when you dock it into the Magic Keyboard, a different kind of environment shows up. A different interface.
Like a true, more of a desktop. Something more macOS-like.
With and if you want the other stuff, the iPhone interface, when you remove it, that's when that comes back. Like, there's a way to do it, but Apple just doesn't want it. They're being very stubborn with, they have these, you know, all day yesterday or all 35 minutes yesterday. They talked about how the iPad is this powerful, creative machine. And, you know, it's the Magic Keyboard makes it closer to a MacBook than ever. And then you open it up and you sit down, you spend $2,500 on it. And it's a big iPhone.
Unless unless you're the kind of visual artist that's going to be drawing and painting and working with a stylus as a preferred medium, it's unmatched. Like having a Wacom tablet hooked up to your computer or something and drawing in one place and looking at it somewhere else, being able to draw directly on a screen like that is the way to go. And having all that stuff, and they've really done a great job of making the stylus work. But not every creative thing is like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, podcasting,
even all the music production stuff they do,
it's tons.
They show all these music producers and stuff doing all this cool stuff in Logic, and it's great that they have Logic on there. But I guarantee you go into any studio environment, like actual music production studio environment, they are not all kicking it around on their iPads.
Right.
There's not
it's
a chance.
It's the thing you use when you're you don't have a Mac in front of you. But if you're in a studio, you're using a Mac. Even the presentation itself at the end, it says shot on an iPhone and edited on a Mac and an iPad. They can't even do it.
Right.
So,
Apple Pencil, though, that was that's nice too. Yep,
Apple Pencil Pro number four. We're getting there.
Well, now that they no longer sell the ninth gen, it's only a matter of time before that's gone.
But why do they? Why is the matter of time not yesterday?
Well,
I mean, what did they still do?
People have the iPads with Lightning connectors, and you may not want to buy the Pencil when you buy the iPad. You might want to buy it as a later accessory. So they still need to have it.
And people lose them, so they have to replace them. So what'll happen is Apple will look at their sales numbers, and once it hits a critical low, then they'll discontinue that Pencil.
Yeah, it'll only be available like when you dive into the store and under accessories, and you can find cases for old iPhones and stuff in there. You know, so yeah, that's happening, and then also the second gen Pencil is only available again for like old iPad Pros and iPad Airs, because the new iPad Pencil Pro, I mean Apple Pencil Pro, is an update to the second gen Pencil.
Basically, yeah.
It only works on the new Pro and the new Air, the M2 and M4 Pro and Air. But it looks and works just like the old, it magnetically charges and sticks to the side. And
I assume the reason why it's only those two models is because there's some new magnetic thing going on due to the landscape camera.
They move the magnets or something. Yeah. Or the charger coil or whatever.
I think that's probably what's going on there.
But the new Pencil has some nice features. It's got the sensors on the side so you can squeeze it to like select brush width or get a tool window to pop up or something. You can rotate it. It has a gyro, so you can actually, they used it to talk about how you can rotate it to like turn a brush that's like a shaped brush, which everybody wants to do. And it's just the natural thing to do, but a gyro means it's, an accelerometer means it's knowing its orientation all the time and in every way, not just rotating a barrel roll. So that means all that stuff that people talk about, like, oh, they'll have it for like Vision Pro, like a paintbrush you can wave in the air. That's the technology that was missing that'll enable that.
Brush
like gyro and accelerometer. Yeah. And then what was the other new thing? Oh, haptic feedback. That's the other thing that kind of everyone will want. I wonder what that does to battery life, but so that's a nice update. Same price as the second gen.
Yeah, $129.
So it's basically just if you have the new Air or Pro and later, it's the Pencil Pro. If you have the earlier ones, it's the second gen Pencil. And then the Pencil with USB-C is sticking around as the cheap option that everything supports.
Oh. Yeah.
It's supported on the new ones, the old ones, the standard iPads, the everything.
It seems like eventually it's going to be that USB Pencil and the Pencil Pro,
and then that's it. The USB-C one,
yeah.
But it's just a matter of how long do they want to hang around selling Pencils that only work on models they no longer sell.
Yeah.
Hopefully not too long, because it's confusing.
There's four Pencils. We were joking yesterday on the Apple Pencil website. It says, need help picking out a pencil? Contact us. Like,
right.
It's like, just give us a call.
With four things and a bunch of check boxes, and then like a second chart that's a compatibility chart.
Yeah, it's the compatibility is confusing. The features between them are confusing. It's a lot. It's a lot for us. If you're just a regular person buying a pencil, like, you have no idea which one to buy.
At least we can say now that if you're buying a new iPad and you want the Pencil to go with it, the Apple Pencil with USB-C supports everything.
Right.
And if you want the features of the Apple Pencil Pro, that's only on the Air or the Pro.
Right.
Damn.
For new iPads, once you start talking about like, well, I've got a year old iPad, I'm thinking about getting a Pencil. Oh, jeez. is like consult the Magic 8-Ball about what.
Yeah. To kind of top off the product announcements, Apple also introduced new versions of Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro that have AI-based features. I don't use either app, so I don't know how significant these features are. They seem cool, at least in the demos I did. So
Yeah. So, I mean, that AI stuff, they didn't talk much about it as we expected. But it's clear that they are, like, right on the edge of blowing the doors off their own little AI revolution, whatever you want to call it, thing.
They've got to.
We're about, like, 4 weeks away from learning, like, how all this stuff really works with AI.
Yeah, if you're a big tech company and you're not all about AI, yeah, the stock market will punish you.
That's true, too.
And Apple is all about it. I mean, they buy back tens of billions of dollars of stock.
Yeah, they care very much about their share price.
Yeah, they just authorized $110 billion stock buyback for this coming fiscal year, which is the biggest spike ever. So they really, I mean, they can't be the only of the five giant tech companies not to be a, quote, leader in AI.
Yeah.
Regardless of how useful it may or may not be to users, like, from a business perspective, they really need that to be seen that way. So
yeah,
it's going to be all about AI.
Yeah. WWDC is going to be AI. Like, remember that iPhone, when they came out with the iPhone 12 and someone did a cut of 5G. They mentioned it like 50 times or something. It's going to be AI.
Oh, it's going to be just like that. Except actually useful, because 5G, it's just, okay, it's a faster cellular connection. Great.
Yeah,
doesn't
that's
change
another,
how I use my phone.
That's another interesting thing. The iPad Pro previously had sub-6 and millimeter wave, and the new one does not have millimeter wave. It's just sub-6, which speaks to two things. One, the rollout of that has stalled years ago, and it hasn't really gotten anywhere. And number two, 5G is just not what everyone said it was going to be.
They were way overhyping it.
They were
combining all the benefits of sub six, which is better reliability at a longer range from the tower, with all the benefits of millimeter wave, which is like gigabit plus speeds. And it's like, it's either you're connected to one or the other.
Yeah. And the other is, I remember driving. I don't remember where I went to test it years ago.
Yeah.
And I still would have to go to that same spot to test it because it never rolled out in any real way.
It's fine in places like sports arenas and stuff, you know, but
even there, so
Wi-Fi
I went to a baseball game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And my phone struggled to send a photo. Not as much as it did over LTE, but it still struggled.
Yeah,
the 5G is not at all what the telecom people claimed it was going to be.
No, and
it's slightly better than LTE. It's a lot better than LTE, but it's not groundbreaking or revolutionary. It doesn't open up anything.
The other thing is, it's going to get better in increments. It's not like I have 5G and it's suddenly six times better. It's like, no, it's just like with LTE. Like, LTE today is a million times better than when it launched.
Yeah, that's true.
And 5G is going to have that same thing. If you want
to
do something
fun. When the iPhone went from Edge to LTE, it was huge. The move from LTE to 5G is not nearly as big.
If you want to really see what 5G does for you, and this is for the vast majority of people going to be the sub 6G, just run a speed test with the speed test app or site on your phone when you're not connected to Wi-Fi,
right?
And then go into the settings, turn off 5G, and then go back and run it again, and you'll be like, oh, it's like three times faster.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's not gigabit, but it's like, you know.
Not taking advantage of it in the way that promised.
Yeah, it's not
means
suddenly
that we can
make
open
it
web
so you
pages
can just
slightly quicker and send a SMS a little bit faster. That's it.
Yeah, it's definitely not doing the thing where you can suddenly stream all this stuff and, you know,
right, all this infrastructure out. And, you know, we can, you know, it's just not there. Some of it is because it hasn't been built, but it's also that the rollout has been very spotty. The millimeter wave is just basically non-existent. I don't know if that's ever going to get to the point where it's in all major cities or even blanketed. Like right now, it's like specific blocks of some major cities. Like that's it though.
Yeah, it's just a fact of physics that the higher frequency that you of energy of electromagnetic, the higher frequency of electromagnetic radiation that you've got at a given power level, the less it penetrates stuff, right? And you can block a millimeter wave signal. That's what those scanners at the airport are that just barely go through your clothes. Like, they're not meant to go through. You can block them with a body, a tree, a window, a door.
A piece of glass, a window, yeah.
Yeah.
You close your window and you're lost.
yeah. A lot of times. So, it's certainly not going through walls, which is why.
Right.
And as you move down the spectrum, you get less bandwidth, but you get long range and good penetration through stuff. That's why Verizon used to work everywhere, because they were the only ones with like a 600 and 700 megahertz, which is like the lowest end of the cellular spectrum. For a long time, they were kind of the only ones with spectrum there. They had it on all their towers, and so towers went really far, and they went through all your walls, and everybody said, Verizon has the best coverage. And that's why. Mm-hmm. Now it's much more of a wash. Yeah. Do whatever.
I still find that it's like when I'm traveling out of state into, you know, less urban areas, Verizon's still pretty, pretty good. Like I rarely lose my signal completely.
Yeah, I feel like kind of all three carriers are pretty good now. Like there used to be just this whole thing where like you'd have major swaths of dead area.
Yeah.
Kind of nobody's just got complete dead zones in populated areas anymore. You got to go, we're going out hunting and we're going to be way out in the wilderness to like find a difference between the carriers.
Maybe we'll wrap up the podcast with this one last note. There was another thing that Apple discontinued yesterday besides the 9th gen iPad, and that is the Apple logo stickers. They're no longer being included in the new iPads. So if you like to buy new Apple products and want stickers with them, they're probably not going to happen.
iPad Air, the iPad Pro, 9to5 Mac reported that they sent out a memo to Apple stores saying that, you know, if somebody wants them, you can give them to them. But they won't be in the box anymore.
They won't be in the box.
And, you know, listen, ultimately, who cares? I have a pile of them that I never use. But
if you are hearing this in the EU or UK, you're not going to get a charger either.
That's true.
Apple
just solved that problem by saying, forget, you know, we're just not going to give it to you.
Yeah, there's a weight of electronics waste act or something like that.
Yeah.
And that they have to comply with. So there's no charger in the box there, and it includes the UK because the law precedes Brexit or something like that.
There's some
funny business there. So both like the EU and UK, you're not going to get a charger in the box.
I mean, it's weird that they don't give you one with the iPhone, but they do give you one with the iPad. I'm not quite sure what the Mac I understand because it's a much higher wattage. But
it's like a high wattage thing. You can't you don't have a million 15-watt chargers out there.
So if you want your stickers, be sure to ask. You have to go to the Apple store and ask them.
You have to ask. And I don't know, like, it was kind of non-specific. It's like, if you buy it from Amazon and bring in your receipt, will they give you an Apple sticker? I don't know.
I think you could just
ask,
Just walk into an Apple store and just say, like, hey, can I have a sticker?
Yeah.
Just give you one.
Yeah. They're not going to fight you over it. So
I don't know if you guys went, but back when Jaguar, macOS 10.2 came out at midnight, they had an event and they gave away,
I could think it was like refrigerator magnets or something at the Apple stores, and they opened the doors at midnight. You could buy it, because back then it was $130 if you wanted to upgrade.
Yeah,
and it was like a whole thing that they did.
Do you remember that? Do you remember midnight launches of new operating systems? Like Windows used to do that too. Big Windows launches, like the absolute mania around Windows 95 launch, and just like Times Square shutdowns and stuff. Just like absolute mayhem to go pay $100 or more for an operating system.
For an operating system. I mean, it's Windows 95 was so a big deal. Well, you know, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an operating system. I mean, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's crazy.
But yeah, Apple used to have like little mini events that, you know, at midnight to launch their new OS, new version of OS 10. I can't remember when that ended. Like, I think Mountain Lion or something, when they stopped charging. So it was 130 or 129.
Yeah. Because
Apple always ends at 9. Then it was 19 for a while. And then they just said it was free. And I'm pretty sure they used to charge for iOS updates for certain devices too. Like $5 or something.
I don't remember that.
I think that was like a one or two off instance. There were a couple times where they had the charge based on a regulation in Europe. Yeah, but remember they charged
$2 for FaceTime when that came out.
Yeah.
If you didn't buy a new iPhone. Something Steve Jobs said they had no choice but to charge you for it. Everyone
it had to do with covering the codec licensing costs or something like that.
Right.
The open source FaceTime that never was.
Well, we're about, 10 minutes over the Let Loose events now?
47, I see. Yep.
So
you got more for your money from this podcast than Apple's Let Loose event.
And we didn't even record any of it from Bart.
No. We didn't crush anything either. At least on camera. Well, that does it for this episode of the Macro Podcast, episode 883. Thanks to Jason Cross.
Thank you.
Thanks to Michael Simon.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks to you, the audience. Thank you for tuning in. You can subscribe to the Macworld Podcast in the podcast app, on Spotify, or through any other podcast app. Do you have any comments or questions? Send us an email at podcast@macworld.com or contact us through X, that's @Macworld, or on Threads, that's @Macworld_HQ, or on the Macworld Facebook page. Join us in the next episode of the Macworld Podcast as we talk about the latest in the world of Apple. See you next time.